So AFP Audio is today talking to Dr. James Best, who's a GP in your doctor's general practice in Leichhardt, Sydney, and was RACGP Supervisor of the Year in 2010. Hi, James.
Hi, Caroline. How are you?
Good, thanks.
That's fine.
So James is the author of an article in the January-February 2012 edition of Australian Family Physician titled Teaching Medical Students Tips from the Frontline. As is noted regularly in this issue of AFP, medical student teaching is growing exponentially, with Beach data now telling us that most GPs work in a practice that trains at one or more levels. Can you tell us a little bit about how and why you started to be involved in teaching, James?
Well, I've always been a frustrated teacher, really. It's always been a passion of mine to be able to pass on knowledge to the next generation, and I sort of feel a little bit of a sense of duty to do that. I think that as a general practice in its entirety is being asked to do a lot more teaching for a whole lot of reasons, a lot of them financial and political. But I do think it's important that we take up this role and pass on to the next generation. And also, if we make our teaching in general practice a positive experience, that we will attract the brightest and the best to our part of the medical world, which I think is very important, because I think I'm sure all my listening audience would agree that that general practice can make a huge difference to health outcomes. So if I remember back when I was a student and I had my placement in general practice, and I remember it being a very positive experience, and it really influenced my decision to become a GP. So I think it's really important to not only to pass on to the next generation, but also to sell general practice to these young medical students.
Yes, and so that obviously includes also some of the reasons that you stayed involved. Are there other things that you've got out of it over the time of teaching?
Oh, absolutely. I think, first of all, I actually look forward to when I have a student with me during the day. I find it really useful for my own education purposes. They always, they've got a set of knowledge that's completely different to mine, and they will always be teaching me things. It's a two-way process. So, and also, it's kind of fun. And, when you've got someone new coming into the practice, maybe for a couple of weeks or maybe even for a month or two, and you get to know them and you get to know their lives, and they're usually quite interesting people. And I find it a very enjoyable process, and the patients like it as well. It's all of a sudden it becomes a three-way dynamic instead of a two-way. And, they've been seeing me for years and years, and all of a sudden they've got someone new to talk to, so that can be quite good as well.
Someone else is hearing their story for the first time.
Yeah, exactly. And some of the ones that like telling their own story a lot too much, instead of me listening to it for the fifth time, they've got someone new in the room.
Indeed. So the article actually starts with Alistair, who's actually probably the outlier student who would be in a concern or somewhere between a concern and a nightmare for any GP.
Yes. I had a bit of a bad run last year for a couple of students in a row, and Alistair was sort of an amalgamation of several of them. But you don't get medical students like Alistair. As I said, they're usually it's a very enjoyable experience, but you can get some problematic students, and, they all vary. And it can be from people who are disinterested, people who maybe have challenging communication skills, people who may do the wrong thing in your own practice. And certainly when I started out in teaching, that was high on my concerns. What are these people going to do? Especially if they're with the patient by themselves, I'm kind of responsible for this, and I've got to be a little careful. And these people can be, quite junior. But I think you've got to, what I've learned over the years is really letting go is the way to go. You've got to set guidelines and you've got to give them parameters. But to let them go and let them sort of find their own feet, it will often be end up being a very positive experience.
And as part of that, you've talked a little bit about, well, one of the first elements about that, though, is, well, letting go, having, I'll say, planned ahead, and so preparing something that you talk a little bit about in the article. Mm. What do you think this should encompass and how might you go about it?
Well, I think this is critical. And certainly it's not, and once again, when I first started out many years ago in teaching, it's not something I did, and I've learnt over the years to do this, and it makes it so much more enjoyable and so much more rewarding in terms of making your day flow better. What I found is, I've got all this stuff that I know, and I've got little particular areas that I have expertise in, and the medical student has a bunch of knowledge as well, and what you're trying to do is to match up those two groups of knowledge. So if you sit down at the beginning and say, look, these are the things that I want to talk, sort of cover at certain times in the term, in the placement, I should say. And you organise yourself, because if you don't do that, you end up just sort of vaguely sort of trying to fit in what you can here and there, and thinking, well, what will we talk about next? And like, for example, I've got a particular interest in childhood disability, in particular autism. So I want to make sure that I cover that at some stage in the term. Because if I don't, you know, the medical student's missing out on that particular bit of knowledge that I have. And I can't remember.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I have got, like, we've got a large practice, and we have, like, a couple of medical students going through it at any time. And I can't remember who I've talked to what about what. So you know, if I've got a list, the medical student carrying around a list, and they're ticking off the things that I've talked to them about, or maybe even one of my colleagues is talking to them, talk to them about, that I've got this list saying, this is what I want you to cover while you're here. And it just makes everything. And also the medical student can prepare. If they know that next week you're going to be talking to them about a certain topic, they can go look it up, and they do. So having a structure is really critical, both in terms of a topics list, but that's only a small part of the teaching. It's also being organised in terms of how you actually manage them during the day, and I think that's probably even more important.
And I suppose one of the things that tangentially came up when you said you have a couple, you can have multiple medical students, is also knowing where the medical students, from what level they're at,
yep,
how long they're coming for, you know, what their
aims are. It's so variable, and you know, we have in our practice, we have three different universities that send medical students to us, so they've all got their different protocols, and we might have someone halfway through medicine and someone in their final year, so it's really quite variable as to what level they're at, what teaching they require, and as I said, so they're running concurrently, so it's very confusing sometimes. So to be organised in terms of where you're up to, in terms of the great long conversation you're going to be having with them while they're there, but also being organised in terms of how you actually manage them, where they're sitting, whether, you know, all that sort of stuff is, I think, the main thing. If you end up teaching them like, or supervising them like an intern, rather than some passive guy who's just got, or girl who's just got, you know, a whole lot of facts to be thrown at, or is just sitting in the corner of the room, you know, watching a consultation, you don't even know whether they're paying attention or not. So it's a really different way of teaching. It's a much more active way of teaching.
Yep, and so preparing is good. Implementation is always the next step. What are some of the things that you found have worked here?
Well, with implementation, so you've got your little list of things you want to go through, but also preparing in terms of, okay, you've got different scenarios in general practice. As we all know, it's not just a lineup of patients that turn up every 15 minutes and you work your way through. I've seen different suggestions where you say, okay, the medical student has this patient, while you're having the next patient, and then you have 15 minutes talking together, and then the next 15 minutes you do this. It doesn't work that way. You know, it's all over the shop. The patients arrive at different times and late and early and all the rest of it. So you have to be flexible in the way you actually manage the student through the day. And there are different, I've basically got different types of scenarios. The best scenario is if you've got a spare patient and a spare room. So you're seeing a patient, and then the medical student can see another patient in another room and do the intern thing of working them up, doing as much as possible as depending on their level of experience and how clever they are. And then they come in and they've done half your work for you. That's the best scenario. But that doesn't always happen. It might be that you haven't got another room, or it might be that they haven't got another patient. So you have, like, I've outlined in the article, you know, different scenarios. So just say you've got another room but not another patient. Maybe the medical student can be going through the notes of the next patient before they arrive. Or if you have, another patient but not another room, how you go about that. So there's different scenarios. The least effective learning scenario is just where they're sitting in the corner. And even then, you know, you're trying to involve them, I suppose, by asking them questions, getting them to do things, getting them to do even practical things like the blood pressure and the urinalysis and doing the physical examination things. Or if you've got time, and, you know, there's not, because one, you know, certain times in the day you'll be absolutely time pressured, and other times it will be not so bad. So maybe you can just sit back and watch them take a history. So it's really being flexible and a little bit nimble, I suppose, is the word I'd like to use. In terms of the way you approach them.
Yeah, that sounds like a very good and quite general practice style of, you know, you deal with what's there and you manage how you can what's and have to, you have a plan, but you know it might be changing in 5 minutes.
Yes, exactly. Well, I remember once I heard another GP talking about his day in general practice, and he described it as surfing the wave of chaos. I think it is a bit like that. So yeah. Teaching has to be have that approach as well.
Indeed. And we've particularly in this article and this discussion talked about, I'll say, the educational and GP practical issues relating to teaching. If people are interested in some of, I'll say, more the practice management or overall practice functioning type issues, there's an article by Caroline Lawrence and colleagues in the same issue that raises some of those issues and also some suggestions and solutions for some of them that people might want to also look at.
Sounds great. I'll have a look myself.
Excellent. Well, are there sort of one or two key points that you'd like people who are just thinking about or just starting out in teaching to remember, James?
It is very much a positive experience as long as you get organised and you be flexible about the way you approach them.
Excellent. Well, thanks for talking to us today, James. And if people want, they can read the article in the January-February 2012 edition of Australian Family Physicians. Thanks.
Thank you.